Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This is the word of the Lord. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. This is the word of the Lord. At the end of Acts chapter 4, that great grace was upon the church. And this great grace expressed itself in acts of great generosity. And no one saying that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. And then they're having everything in common. We saw this grace at work in Barnabas, who was a Levite and who sold a field that belonged to him and laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet. And when we compared what he did to what we find in the Old Testament, to what we find in the book of Leviticus, we found that he sold something that could not be sold. He sold something that was to remain as his forever. And we understood this not only as an expression of the old covenant passing away, but also as an expression of where his heart lay. Not in the land of Canaan, but in the church of Christ. And so it was that he did not bring the proceeds to the temple and lay them at the feet of the priests. Instead, he brought them to the church and laid them at the feet of the apostles. That was where his inheritance was to be found. Not in the land, but in the church, in the life of the church. This act of great generosity that took place within the life of the church. It took place under the ministry of the apostles as they ministered the word and the sacraments and prayer. It took place within the congregations gathering together to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to devote themselves to the breaking of bread and prayer. This extraordinary grace was given through ordinary means. The regular habits and ordinary life of the people of God. A life ordered by the liturgy of the church's worship. By the assembling together at the call of his voice. And for being dismissed with his blessing. And it was in that life lived together that the needs of all God's people were provided for. It is in that life together that the needs of all God's people are provided for. Because we have no inheritance apart from one another. And to leave another in poverty is to impoverish ourselves. Great grace was upon the church. When we come to verse 11 of chapter 5, we find that great fear was upon the church. And so we discover in Acts chapter 5 another mark of the church's ordinary life in this world, and that is discipline. With the ministry of the word and sacrament comes the ministry of discipline. For where there is sin, there must be discipline. And we need no argument to prove to us that there is sin in the church. We all know very well that there is sin in the church, but we bring it with us, as there is sin in each one of us. We do not often speak of discipline as a means of grace, but we see it as a means of grace in Acts chapter 5. We see grace given through the church's discipline in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. We do not see that grace in them. We do see it and those who saw and heard what happened to them. It is the grace of holy fear. That fear that comes with the recognition that God is holy, that he will not be mocked. That it is a fearful thing to fall into his hands. This fear is not opposed to grace. This fear is a gift of grace. It is a gift that Ananias and Sapphira lacked. For had they possessed it, would they have dared to lie to God? And though this discipline brought death to Ananias and Sapphira, it brought grace to the church, as the people were chastened by what had happened. And so their discipline bore the fruit of holiness in the life of the church. It bore the fruit of holiness in the life of his people. The discipline of the church is meant to bring a sinner to repentance. It is meant to bring him to the grace of repentance unto life. This discipline is an act of love, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. But that is not the only reason for discipline. Discipline is not only for the repentance of the offender. It is also for the purity of the church. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Sometimes the Lord disciplines a man because he loves him. And sometimes he disciplines a man because he loves the church. Sometimes it is both. But it is not always both. And that is what we find in Acts chapter 5. We find the Lord disciplining them because he loves his own. We said before that the sin of Ananias and Sapphira was not in the amount that they gave. They were free to keep their land, and once they had sold it, they were free to keep what they had gained from it. They were free to give some of it or none of it, but they were not free to pretend that they were giving all of it. Theirs was the sin of pretense. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be seen as something they were not. A pretense is the handmaiden of pride. Pride is the mistress of every sin. Ananias and Sapphira, they lacked humility. But with their death, the church was clothed in humility, as they were solemnly reminded of the holiness of the one who was in their midst. As they were solemnly reminded of what it means to be his dwelling place. In this way, the death of Ananias and Sapphira is not unlike the death of Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, an offering which he had not commanded them. And what was the result? Fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them. And after they had died before the Lord, what did the Lord say? Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. But it is not only the fact of their death that makes the case of Ananias and Sapphira remind us of the case of Nadab and Abihu. It is what happens before their deaths that makes us to see the great similarity between them. What was it that happened before the death of Nadab and Abihu? What was it that had happened before they approached the holy places with strange fire? The tabernacle had just been built, and the glory of the Lord had filled it. And after it had been consecrated, then it could be entered and used for worship. It was at its consecration that the glory of the Lord appeared to all of the people. It was at its consecration that fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the sacrifice offered to him. Before the death of Nadab and Abihu, the tabernacle had become the dwelling place of God and the place of Israel's worship. And so the death of Nadab and Abihu is a revelation that yes, the Lord was indeed in their midst, and that the place of his worship must be approached with reverence and awe, with humility and fear, without pretense or pride. And that is what makes the case of Nadab and Abihu so strikingly similar to the case of Ananias and Sapphira. But what has just happened in the book of Acts? What happened on the day of Pentecost? The glory of the Lord came down and filled the church, and fire rested upon the people. What happened in Leviticus to the tabernacle happens in Acts to the church. The church becomes the dwelling place of God on earth, The church becomes the place of his presence. It has been consecrated as the place of his worship. So those who would approach that place must come with reverence and awe, with humility and fear, without pretense or pride. As it was with the death of Nadab and Abihu, so it is with the death of Ananias and Sapphira. The deaths leave us with no doubt that the church is a place of holiness. Deaths leave us with no doubt that the church is the place of the Lord's presence. The one who desecrates it with pretense or pride, he must answer not to man, but to God. In Acts chapter 5, we see that the discipline of the church, when rightly administered, is the discipline of God. It is not Peter who takes the lives of Ananias and Sapphira. Or is it the apostles? Or is it the church? It is the Lord who takes their breath. It is the Lord who makes them to breathe their last. It is he who puts them to death. The discipline of the church is the discipline of the Lord, for he is present in her midst. By the example of their deaths, we must learn to treat the church as holy. By the example of the death of Ananias and Sapphira, we must understand that the holiness of the church is not only a word that we speak. It is the word in our midst. When we gather together, if we do not tremble at all, if there is no trace of fear upon us, we have not yet learned what we are here to learn. You should be afraid to come to the place of God's worship in pretense or pride. You should fear to come with the look of righteousness upon your face
while lying to God in your heart. It should cause you to tremble. Do not think that the worst thing that could ever happen is to be exposed for what you really are. The worst thing that could ever happen is for you not to be. What happens to the one who goes on pretending to the end? He will fall before the Lord's feet, never to rise again. He will breathe his last before the Lord and be carried away from his presence. Children, what good is it to gain the world and lose your soul? What good is it to deceive the church and to hide treachery in your heart? No reputation is worth maintaining if it requires that you lie to God. No reputation is worth maintaining if it requires that you lie to God. But let go of that reputation. You will find a grace far greater than what you have lost. For what will you gain but the Lord himself? Do not regard lightly his discipline, nor be weary of his reproof. For he disciplines the one he loves. May this church be faithful to administer that discipline. And may we be faithful to receive it. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. May the grace of his fear rest upon you all. Amen.